Good morning, Evangel. We welcome each one of you here to church today. What a beautiful day, amen? And it's great to be together. Would you stand with us? We're going to lift up our voices to the Lord today. I want to encourage you to lift up your voice to Jesus. If you've got a song of praise, if you've got a testimony, lift it up to Him in song today. Come on. Together, come on. Who am I?
Who am I? You are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call.
Is it true?
Is it true that you are thinking of me? You love me. It's amazing.
All together, who am I?
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. And is it true that you are thinking of me? You love me.
Come on, let's sing it out.
It's amazing. I am a friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend. I am a friend of God. Friend of God, He calls me friend.
Come on, let's sing these words. Who am I?
And who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? It's amazing. Oh, no, no. I'm a friend of God. I am a friend. Oh, I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Come on, sing with friends.
Oh, I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. God Almighty, we've got Almighty Lord of glory. You have called me friend.
Come on, can you sing that?
Oh God Almighty Lord of glory. You called me friend.
Sing God Almighty,
God Almighty, Lord of glory. You have called me friend.
God Almighty,
God Almighty, Lord of glory.
Oh, you are, yes,
you.
Sing it out.
Oh, I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I am a friend.
I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I am a friend.
I'm a friend of God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Sing, I am.
Oh, I am a friend of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. in God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend.
Come on, we sing that truth. We're children of God.
In God Almighty, you are the Lord of glory, you have called me friend.
I am a friend.
I am a friend.
Praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name.
We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. Sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. And fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift Him high. With all creation cries out, we praise you. Whoa, we praise you. Whoa.
Come on, all together, let faith be the song that overcomes the rage. Faith be the song that calms a storm inside.
Let it rise.
Let praise arise.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch your giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift Him. With all creation crying,
we'll see you break.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch your giants fall. If you cannot survive when we break, the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift Him high. With all creation cries, God, we break. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you.
Come on, let's lift this up.
Oh, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like.
We'll see.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. And fear cannot survive when we pray. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, we'll say, we'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. If fear cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you.
Good morning. Nice to see you. Won't you say hi to somebody before you're seated this morning? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning and welcome to Evangel today. And we're glad you're here and worshiping with us in this space this morning, and others are still coming in. But we also want to welcome those of you who are joining us today via our live stream. We're glad that you're a part of our service today as well. And our prayer for all of you, whether we're in this building together or watching from somewhere else, is that God's Spirit would minister to us, strengthen us, and help us, and we'll be changed as we encounter Him today. So we want to welcome you. Maybe this is the first time that you've been here, and we want to extend a special welcome to you and tell you that we are so happy that you're here, and we want to be able to come alongside and serve you and support you and encourage you. And the best way we know to connect with you is to initially is to ask you to sign a connection or fill out a connection card you'll find in the chair pocket right in front of you. If you fill that out, you take it to our information desk in the foyer after the service, and you can hand it in there. There's a small gift there for you. If you have a prayer request, put it on the card. If you want us to follow up, indicate that, and we'll be prompt to do that. So we're just glad that you're here. A couple of announcements today. We've been talking about a water baptismal service for the April 21st. Actually, we've changed the date, and so we are actually having it next Sunday, because that's a better day for some of our candidates. So we are going to be doing our water baptismal service next Sunday. And if you are thinking about it and you haven't reached out to us yet, there is still time, but we would need to know today that you are interested. So please let us know, and we'll include you in our water baptism celebration next Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. It will be next Sunday, not April 21st. Also, just want to ask you to mark your calendars and save the date for April 27th. It's our annual property cleanup day, and it starts at 10, ends around noon with lunch provided, and we need as many as we can to clean things up and to flow into the spring-summer season. And so if you can be here, be a part of that, we would greatly appreciate it. So please keep that in mind. Young adults, next Sunday evening is our young adult worship night. So if you are a young adult and you'd like to be a part of that, it's going to be next Sunday evening. So keep that in mind. If you're here today and you have children that are newborn to age 3, our nursery is available all through the service. You can take your child through these doors, down the stairs, and right on your left-hand side, you'll see our nursery. You can check your child in there. And if you have children who are age 4 up to grade 5, they are free to go at this time. Just come around the side, out through these doors through the foyer here, and you can pick them up at the end of the service. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time as our hospitality team collects. If you want to give electronically, you can send your e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. God bless you as you continue to worship this morning. Thank you.
Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. For your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions or powers and
positions.
Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cry, holy, you are lifted. Holy forever. Come on, if you've been forgiven, sing us out. And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, and if you sing the song forever to the Lamb. Yes, we will. We'll sing the song forever to the Lamb. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. Sing holy to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy and holy forever. Come on, let's declare this. Your name is the highest.
Your name
is the greatest. Your name stands above
them all.
Lord of thrones,
dominions,
all powers and positions.
Your name
stands
above them all.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the highest.
Your name
the greatest.
Your name
stands above them all. And all thrones
and dominions,
all powers and positions,
your name
will stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cry, holy,
you are
lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people, Lord, hear your people sing. Holy to the King of Kings, yes, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. And the angels cry, and the angels cry,
holy, holy.
Hear your people sing,
holy to the King of Kings, holy,
he will
always be holy, holy forever.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy.
Come on, you know the word.
Oh, how you, Lord God, Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy. How you, Lord God, Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, said, you are holy, Jesus. Holy, yes, Lord. Are you, Lord God, Almighty? Said, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, yeah. Holy.
Your voice.
You are holy, holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
You are holy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. One more time. Holy. Why are you, Lord God, Almighty? Worthy. Only you, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus' name. Jesus, the name above
every other name.
Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Holy
and holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you.
Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Worthy of every song.
Your it is a firm foundation.
We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Sing holy one more time. And holy, there is no one like you.
There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those.
Go ahead, one more time. Let's sing. Sing holy. Holy,
there is no one like
you. No one like you, Jesus.
There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in love to those around.
You are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and shape us to be more like you, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. I'm sure many of you have heard it and have read it before. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. I don't know if you know this, but in pastoral circles, this Sunday is known as Let Down Sunday. Because after a long, cold winter of weather problems and sicknesses, and Easter comes, and it's usually sunny and bright, and people who come occasionally come, people who didn't come since last Easter come, or since Christmas Eve come, and the room is filled with people, and you get really excited as a pastor, and you, even though you've done it for many years, you believe that you're going to see the same thing next week when you come back. But then you come back, and all the people who only come at Easter are not there. And it's different, and it's so it's called Letdown Sunday. But I want to tell you, this is not a Letdown Sunday at all. What a great, great place to be this morning in God's presence and having all of you here. It's just a blessing. I have an interesting relationship with memory. On one hand, a name or a number can exit my brain faster than it went in there. Or I'll say to Jennifer, "Do you want this or that?" And she'll say that, and then I'll come back and she'll go, "Why'd you bring this? I said that." Right, right. I could never work as a barista in a coffee shop. I mean, I'm almost shaking, not for a lack of caffeine, as I'm watching people make orders thinking, I would not make it to the end of the counter before I would have to come back and say, "Can you tell me that again?" And I would still not remember it. I could never. I admire people who can keep all of that straight. I really do. I admire that. Now, on the other hand, I can remember moments, I can remember people, I can remember experiences very vividly from the earliest years of my life. Oftentimes when in conversation, people around me go, I can't believe that you remember that. Or I have friends from years back who will reach out and say, what was that person who used to live on our street? What was their sister's name? And I go, oh, that was so-and-so. I can't believe you can remember that. So I have this really interesting relationship with memory. Some things empty my brain quickly, but some stay with me for a very long time. One such memory is the Sunday I was baptized in water. I was about 12 years old. Our church usually held baptism services in the Sunday night services. We had both then. It was a cool fall night. My mom never really attended church when I was growing up, but my dad was there. And I never sat with my dad in church because that was very uncool. Sorry, if you're sitting with your mom or dad right now, that's awesome now. But back then, it was really, really, really uncool. And your parents are probably really happy that you're sitting right there. And I was sitting on the end of a pew on the right of our side of our church. I still remember this as if I'm there. Our church just had two sections. And I was on the right-hand side, which would have been over here, right on the very end of the row. Our church had on this side over here the piano, the drums, the guitar, bass, all that stuff. And on this side over there, I don't know why, but organists tend to be banished. They were just sort of over there by themselves for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know. But they were. And that night, the pastor's wife was playing the organ. And when the time for baptism came, she just looked down the end of the row, and I was kind of hanging out the end of the row, and she looked at me, and she smiled, and she encouraged me to go up. Now, what was, side note here, years later, I became the executive presbyter for our area, and her husband were pastors, and I got to work with them, so that was really neat, but this was way back before that. So she looked at me, and she smiled, and she encouraged me to go up, and she knew that I had decided I was going to be baptized that night. I was wearing my baptism clothes, not your normal stuff. The tank was a permanent tank at the back of our church and at the platform, and there was a hand-painted mural of the River Jordan on the wall behind it. And I remember the congregation singing, "I've decided to follow Jesus," as I slowly descended the steps into the tank. I remember, like it was yesterday, the feeling of the cool water and the wet clothes on my skin. But what I remember most was the incredible joy that I felt as a 12-year-old as I publicly declared that I had decided to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. We didn't own a car, and we just lived maybe 10, 15 minutes walk from the church. We always walked to and from church each week. I didn't even bring a change of clothes. And that night, I still remember how cold it was as I was walking home on this dark, cool fall night in wet clothes. But somehow, it didn't matter because I was so happy to have taken the step of being baptized in front of my church congregation, declaring that I had decided to follow Jesus. Once again, now you know why Jen always says to me, listening to your life is like watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie. There you have it. Today we are launching our spring sermon series entitled This Is Us. And throughout this series, we're going to be focusing primarily on some of the practices that we value here at EPC, as we strive to become the spiritual community that we believe Jesus desires us to become. I want to say this morning, there is no greater decision. There is no greater decision that we can make. There is no greater joy that we will ever experience than making the decision to follow Jesus as the number one priority of our lives. Does anyone agree with that? Good, three of you, that's good. We are starting this series this week with the practice of water baptism. Water baptism is the public act of being immersed in water as a declaration of our faith in Jesus. And so today, we will attempt to explain the importance of water baptism as we focus on some New Testament examples, as we consider the spiritual significance of water baptism, and just end with, very quickly, some common questions that people have. And so we're going to start today in the New Testament. While we begin with focus on New Testament examples, it's important to note that New Testament baptism has its origins in the Old Testament ceremonial washing, with the primary symbolic emphasis being a desire to be clean before a holy God and to mark a new beginning or a fresh start in one's life. So with that in mind, we pick up, first of all, John the Baptist. The story of John the Baptist is introduced early in each of the four Gospels. John was a very important person in the fulfillment of God's promise of the coming of the Messiah. John was known as what we call the forerunner of the Messiah. He was the bridge, if you will, between the Old Testament, law and prophets, and the arrival of Jesus. His purpose was to prepare people to receive the Messiah. Now, Luke gives us details about his birth, and we talked about that during Advent. But the others, when we see him later, we see him as an adult, and he's preaching, and he's baptizing people in the Jordan River. He's located in the wilderness of Judea, and people are flocking there to hear him preach and to be baptized. The Romans were in power. People were robbed of freedom. Morale was low. The Jewish nation hoped and prayed that God would do something. He would break in. He would rescue them. He would transform their circumstances. And so John's message to the Jewish community was this, that the kingdom of God is at hand. What you're longing for is about to happen. The Messiah is coming. But in preparation for his coming, you need to repent and be ready. His role was to get people ready for Jesus. And his message was simple yet profound. Repent and be baptized. To repent means to a radical transformation of the whole person, to grieve over your current spiritual state. John's baptism was evidence of a sincere desire for cleansing, to alter one's way of life, to desire a new beginning, a public declaration of desiring a fresh start. He was promising the people the possibility of the future benefits of the coming Messiah, to get ready for when the Messiah came. And people were responding. They were repenting and they were being baptized. They were expressing their remorse and their desire for a new start, a new beginning. Then we see the example of Jesus. In Luke's Gospel in chapter 3, verses 21 to 23, we read that Jesus himself appeared at the Jordan River in the wilderness where John was preaching and baptizing. And Jesus walked up and he requested that John baptize him. Now, not surprisingly, John was reluctant to baptize Jesus. This is the same Jesus that on another occasion John said, "Behold the Lamb of God. There goes the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world." And so John was reluctant to baptize Jesus. How could he baptize the Messiah? How could he baptize the Son of God? He didn't even feel worthy to even untie Jesus' sandals, let alone baptize him. This just seemed all wrong to John. John's baptism symbolized repentance, a call for people to reset their spiritual priorities. Jesus was the sinless, pure, perfect Son of God. Why would he need to be baptized? This didn't make sense to John. And it often doesn't make sense to us until we kind of consider a little further. As we reflect on Jesus' request, we realize that this request was really not unusual at all. Luke's intent of putting this where he does in writing his gospel is to record the account of the ministry of Jesus. And this moment, this very moment in the wilderness at the River Jordan, is a significant moment in Jesus' ministry. Luke records this event of Jesus' baptism being at the start of his ministry. Jesus' baptism flows within the whole understanding of this washing before something new begins. And something new was about to begin. His ministry was about to start. But there's more. John's baptism foreshadowed the cross, foreshadowed the cross, where it says that he who knew no sin would take upon himself the sins of all humanity. And so by being baptized, Jesus here is identifying with those he came to save. It's a foreshadowing of the cross. So we see John helping the Jewish nation refocus. We see Jesus affirming that this is a good thing and participating in it at the start of his ministry. And then we see examples in the early church. The scripture we read this morning is often referred to as the Great Commission. Not the Good Commission, but the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This scripture is a call by Jesus to carry on his mission of making disciples. With baptism being the public sign in the life of his followers of allegiance and obedience to him. And so because of Jesus' command to make disciples, with baptism being that public sign of allegiance and obedience, his followers not only followed that, but they prioritized it. Jesus' followers openly and consistently emphasized and practiced water baptism by immersion. They encouraged everyone who had repented of their sins and had received Jesus as Lord and Savior to be baptized as a testimony of what Jesus had done in their lives. And so we see examples. We see Acts 2:38 on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on all believers, and Peter stands up and he begins to preach, and he's talking about Jesus, and he says these words, "Repent and be baptized." Wow, that sounds awfully familiar to John's, isn't it? But it's changing here. He says, "Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." In Acts 8:12 to 16, Philip, who's been scattered to Samaria, it says that when he's there, and he's preaching to them, when they believe, Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 38, Philip is again traveling in a chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch who wants to know about Jesus. He's hungry to know about Jesus. And it says, as they traveled along the road, and Philip is telling him all about Jesus, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Acts 9:18 records Saul's encounter with Jesus in a vision on the road to Damascus that resulted in his conversion and his name being changed from Saul to Paul. And it says, immediately something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. In Acts 10:47, the focus shifts to the Gentiles. In Acts 16:15, we read about Dorcas and her household in Philippi accepting Jesus, and they were baptized, all of them. In Acts 16:33, the Philippian jailer and his household accepted Jesus, and they were baptized in water. And there are so many examples that we could see. The early church was faithful to the practice of water baptism as a public declaration of one's faith in Jesus, just as Jesus had commanded them to do. So what then is the spiritual significance? Well, as we can see, water baptism by immersion was modeled by Jesus and practiced by the early church. But what then is the spiritual significance of it? Why is it so important? And I want to very briefly highlight three things. Number one is water baptism signifies allegiance and association with Jesus. When we are baptized in water, we are publicly proclaiming to the onlooking world that we are followers of Jesus. We are declaring our allegiance to him. We are declaring his lordship over us as we obey his command to be baptized. We're obeying the great commission that we found and read in Matthew 28, but we also find in Mark 16, as his disciples were being baptized, and we are baptizing others as that symbol, that public declaration, that testimony of our allegiance to Jesus. Secondly, see, I told you it was brief. Water baptism signifies that I'm identifying with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. In Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, and in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." In Colossians 2:12, he also writes, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Jesus from the dead." The very moment we place our faith in Jesus for salvation, the very moment we participate in the work of salvation, which was accomplished and we celebrated specifically last week being Easter Sunday morning through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we also become recipients of what his death, his burial, and his resurrection has accomplished on our behalf. And so baptism is an external expression of what has taken place on the inside when we put our faith in Jesus. As we are immersed under the water, we are symbolically identifying with the fact that we have died to sin. And when we come forward, we are declaring that we are new in him. And thirdly, and I really like this one, I got to tell you. Water baptism signifies our identification with the community of faith. Baptism is not only a testimony of being joined to Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's also a way of proclaiming our identification with the community of faith that has been formed as a result of our collective choice to follow him. Side note, I think if there's any area that the church needs a deeper dive and understanding in is the whole concept of community and how important community is to serving Jesus and doing life for him and living out kingdom. When people say, "I don't need to go to church to follow Jesus," I am sorry, but that is not biblical. It is not. We are meant to do life in community. And there is something so beautiful, and I just love it, on baptism morning, there is such an incredible heightened sense of community. As people gather around that tank, and as someone publicly declares, it's almost tangible. You can almost feel it. Sorry, I just like it a lot. Community. Community. And the challenge for many of us is that we long for it, and we see the importance of it, but we struggle to figure out how to really have it. And hopefully we'll talk about that throughout this series too. In Acts 2:41, let's go back to Peter on the day of Pentecost. And he's preaching. And this is what it says. "Those who believed what Peter said," and Peter was talking all about Jesus and who he was and how he died and rose from the dead and he's the Messiah and all of that. It says, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized." And what? Added to the church that day. about 3,000 in all. Okay, the Sunday after that would be Letdown Sunday. By choosing to follow Jesus, they were joining to him. But in being joined to him, they were also joined in fellow believers. It's kind of like when someone's getting married, and those of us who have been married for a while, we give them some advice and we say, listen, when you marry that person, you're marrying their family, right? Any of us have been married, we know that, right? You're marrying that person, you're marrying their family. Well, you know what? If you come to Jesus, you're a part of his family. They're also joined to fellow believers. Jesus' intention for us is to follow him within the context of community, together. And when we are baptized into this, in this community, we are declaring our commitment to Jesus, but by association, we're declaring our commitment to one another. And folks, we break up with, if you want to use, keep on the relational language, we break up with our church community, I think, far too easily these days. And I don't think we anticipate the impact that that will have on us long term. Because I think we don't value how important it is that we are a part, yes, of Jesus, but we're a part of his community and how important that is. Thirdly, aren't you glad I stopped talking about that? There are likely many questions that people ask, lots of questions when deciding whether to be baptized or not. And I just want to briefly address seven common questions very, very quickly. The first question that's often asked is, when should I be baptized? I would suggest that you should be baptized as soon as possible after you make the decision to follow Jesus. And might I suggest, no offense to anyone who maybe is at this point right now, but might I suggest that feeling ready has nothing to do with responding to Jesus' call of baptism. Being ready has nothing to do with that. Baptism is a matter of obedience, which means that you've chosen Jesus, and you're choosing to obey what he's called you to do. You've chosen to follow Jesus, and baptism is the natural next step. It's just what happens. In fact, personally, it's been a part of my ministry, and I see it as a part of a lot of people say, no, you can't get baptized until you go through this 6, 8, 10, 12-week program. Personally, I'm sorry, theologically, I don't hold to that. We don't have that here anymore. I don't see that as a biblical standard. There's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? It's a public declaration that you've chosen Jesus. I don't know what being ready is. I don't know what that is. So when should I be baptized? I would suggest that if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you should be baptized. Secondly, how old should I be before I can be baptized? I think age is rarely an issue. If you've decided to follow Jesus and you understand what it means to follow Jesus and you understand what that baptism means obeying the command of Jesus, then you can be baptized. People who were baptized in the New Testament under the ministry of Jesus' followers, they were new in their faith relationship with Jesus. Water baptism is not a declaration of maturity. It's not a declaration that you've reached a certain rung on the ladder. It is a step in your journey of spiritual maturity. And so if you understand that you've made a decision to follow him and you understand what that baptism means, that you are publicly declaring that, well, then age becomes less of an issue. Thirdly, why must I be baptized in front of people? Why can't I do it in private? Although baptism is based on a person's own personal encounter and experience and embracing of faith in Jesus and with Jesus, we know that our relationship with Jesus is never private. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the spiritual body of Christ, and water baptism becomes that external declaration of what has already taken place inside of us. The public nature of baptism provides us with an opportunity to declare our faith in Christ to our faith community and all those who may be watching. 4, what about infant baptism? I want to say that denominations that baptize infants have made, I believe, a relatively strong biblical case. They don't just believe that for no reason. They've made a relatively strong biblical case for the baptism of infants, which is regarded more as an initiation into the faith community rather than a personal confession of faith. Obviously, a newborn baby has not confessed Christ as Savior, and so it's more an initiation into the faith community. In many ways, the rite of baptism in other denominations seems to best relate to our baby dedications, where where we have parents who dedicate to raising this child in a way to know God. And in both infant baptism and baby dedication, a biblical appeal is made from both the Old and New Testament of the significance of presenting our children before God. In wanting to stress a person's response to the call of Jesus to be baptized and an understanding of what baptism symbolizes, many Protestants, of which we are a part, have opted to wait until the one being baptized has decided for themselves to accept Jesus as their Savior, and they have a personal understanding of what baptism is and why they need to be baptized. So for that reason, that's why we don't baptize infants. We baptize those who are older who can make their own confession of faith. Does baptism wash away my sins? After all, Carrie Underwood said there's something in the water. Does baptism wash away my sins? No, it does not. The association of water and the washing away of sins is a familiar metaphor in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Water is used as a metaphor for cleansing and forgiveness and not the reality or the agent of cleansing. It's not the water. You know, a lot of people, I've been to Israel and I baptized people in the Jordan River, and a lot of people have been baptized in the Jordan River, and that's a very special experience. You know, but I want to tell you that the Jordan River is filthy. And when you're standing in there, all you can feel is the fish eating around your feet for what you're stirring up, right? The water doesn't really feel special. It's the place because of the significance that Jesus had been there and so on. But the water itself, you know, is not special water. In fact, we had someone on the team once, I remember, taking a sample and then getting it mixed up later and got really sick because they drank that water accidentally. Water is used as a metaphor of cleansing, but the water itself is not what does the work. Scripture is clear that it is Jesus' shed blood and his blood alone that washes away our sins. So is there anything significant about the water itself? No. It is Oakville's finest. Why must I be submerged underwater? Why can't I just be sprinkled or have water poured over my head? Simply, we just do that because full immersion is the practice that we see modeled in the New Testament and appears to be the best to symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And finally, does anything supernatural happen when I'm baptized? The truth of the matter is that there's no telling what can happen when people are baptized. There are some people who testify of feeling no different at all after having been baptized. Others have testified to having a greater joy or a deeper assurance of having been forgiven of their sins or a closer sense of the presence of God in their lives. Some cry. Others have felt humble and awed. Biblically, at Jesus' baptism, God spoke and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus. In Acts 19, Paul prayed for these newly baptized Ephesian believers, laid hands on them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so there's a variance of responses. Whatever you may experience is without question, yes, a special spiritual experience. It's a special spiritual experience, but it will vary from person to person. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. But I want to remind us this morning that there is no greater decision that we can make. There is no greater joy than we can experience than making the decision to follow Jesus as the number one priority of our lives. Jesus is everything. I did that early in my life, and then around 10 years of age, you know, because in Pentecostal circles, you probably recommit your life to Jesus at least 1,000 times before you get out of your teenage years. But at age of 10, I remember being allowed to go to a youth group service, and I wasn't old enough to go. And that night, I do remember praying and asking Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And I remember at age 12, being baptized in water, reaffirming my decision to follow Jesus as the number one priority. I wish I could tell you I never messed up. I wish I could tell you that I never failed him. I wish I could tell you that I never doubted, but that's not true. But when I decided to follow Jesus, I decided, and I make that decision every day of my life before my feet hit the floor. Today, I'm going to follow him. We believe that water baptism is an important step in the life of a believer. Why? Because Jesus himself was baptized, and he encouraged, and not only encouraged his followers to do the same, but commanded them to do the same. And so the Great Commission is a call by Jesus to carry on his mission of making disciples, with water baptism being the public sign in the life of his followers of their allegiance and their obedience to him. Would you stand with us this morning? Our worship team is going to lead us today.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Sing. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. No. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let. Oh, you sing it out. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, 'cause you are good. 'Cause you are good, good.
Good. Lord Jesus, on this day we declare that there is no greater joy. There is no greater experience that we can ever have in this life than in that moment when we recognize our need of you. And we ask you to be the Lord of our lives and we begin a journey of following you. A journey that takes us through dark valleys and painful times, but you are good. And Lord, as we sung earlier, would you help us to understand the wonder of who you are? Sometimes in this journey of following you, we reach a point where we think we've figured you out. We understand you in your fullness. And in the process of doing that, we restrict the opportunity to continue to grow and to continue to learn and to begin to see that there is so much more to you than we already know. The wonder of who you are, the mystery of who you are. Lord, when we stand with curiosity of who you really are, we declare that we really don't know as much as we think we know, but we want to know you more. And I thank you for those in this room that have made that decision to follow you. And maybe some of them, Lord, have been processing even next steps and being baptized. And maybe some never have been or they've been delaying it. But I just pray, God, that you would draw them close and just remind them of how special and how important and how significant this is in their journey of faith. Father, today we pray for those who are needing your touch today. We think of Lord Bev's son, Richard, once again in the hospital. Lord, we pray as they are pursuing tests and discovery that you would be with him. We pray for your healing. We pray for a good report. We pray for good news. We pray for your peace in his heart and in Bev's heart and his family. And Lord, once again, we put our trust in you. Our eyes are focused on you, Lord. And we pray that you would minister to him. Draw him close to you in this time, I pray. Father, we pray for Gaynor today. We pray for, Lord, your healing and your strength in her life. Lord, I pray for those that are in this room this morning. And some have needs that some are aware of. And some have needs that they carry in private and no one knows anything about. And Lord, we know that the burden is no less. And so this morning we pray that you would help us to lay our burdens, Lord, at your feet this morning and accept your invitation to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And Father, as we leave this place today, may we leave living out the joy and the excitement that there is in knowing you as our Lord, as our Savior, as the number one priority of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.